WildTalkRadio.com.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential Sun Muffin, Joel Gertner.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, baby. Want to wrestle?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I didn't expect me to learn anything.
With your hosts.
What a bunch of dumbass, stupid dorks.
Tim Stein.
Boob.
The Omega.
I am Cornholio. I need TV for my bunghole.
Heartbreak Mike.
Get me some nacho, butt wife.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Fire, 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 fire.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I can't do it, or something.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Did I just score?
WTR Sunday Night.
No way. Yes.
Shoes with the open toes. She's got a good time wrapped in gold for you, for you. All red dress with the devil eyes. So obsessed with the camera lights.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Well, we kind of just got done with the Survivor Series. It ended a little bit quicker than we thought. That is exactly what it feels like.
Oh my God, just hurry up and get to the intros. Wow.
Oh, we have opinions on the Survivor Series, I am sure. And oh boy, it's going to get loud.
No. You go back to that Nitro theme song. You go back to that.
Don't go back to it. We need to get it started. This is the Omega, the BL, and all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have, obviously, the Heartbreak Mike.
Wow.
Yeah. That's one word.
That's one word. That's one word less than... Okay, all right.
You will need to devise more by the time we get to the main event.
What main event?
No, I was trying to figure out which one it was. No one remembers
that one. Not that one. Jesus.
Apparently we remember it.
I had that song on a CD Pizza Hut gave me for free. Jesus Christ, where the hell did you pull that from?
Keep going.
That's better.
Here we go. Gracias, Omega, y bienvenidos, WCW Nitro. He's a Corridor, a Goldberg! He's a Brock Lesnar!
Thank you for that.
Jesus.
And we have, leading this train wreck, because this is the only way I can describe tonight, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, merci beaucoup, mon ami Omega. Bonsoir, mesdames et messieurs.
We've done the language bit already.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Bienvenue à Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wild Talk Radio.
Est en encore édition de WTR Dimanche Nuit.
And another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah, that was for a long jobber because apparently since I'm Canadian, I speak French.
I'm doing the sign language version over here, you just can't tell.
Put that middle finger down, Omega. Put that middle finger down.
American, it's the only sign language I know.
You can hear us on
American.
Yeah. You can hear us on Facebook Live. You can hear us on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network on both places. We're there. We're live. We're streaming. Because holy crap.
That was a thing. That happened.
I'm not sure what I just watched.
I'm just wondering if Lone Jobber understood anything I said or if he needed your translation, Rock.
I don't know. But I pulled out another song.
her?
Oh my god.
Fifth Naked.
Crush 'em was better.
But whose theme was this?
Arquette.
David Arquette.
David Arquette.
Rock and roll is what you do.
Choosing to ignore you now.
Yeah, you can kill that anytime you want. Thank you for bringing up David Arquette, you bonehead. There we go. That's better. A little bit better. So efficiently. Thanks for joining us tonight on our Survivor Series review webcast live, emanating from the Wild Talk Radio Network simulcast live, also on the Facebook machine. And, of course, naturally, on TuneIn, the free app that you put on your mobile device and search Wild Talk Radio Network and listen for free because free is good. Ask me. I'm cheap.
Yeah, you are.
Somebody called me frugal once. I said, shut up. Call a spade a spade. I am cheap, not frugal. What the hell?
I'm trying.
You just turn on your WCW playlist.
Yep. Yep. It's
a good idea.
I just went into the WCW folder. All right.
Oh God.
We're gonna break.
Oh,
we're
God,
gonna.
He's got a WCW folder.
You didn't know this?
Well, I do now.
Where have you been?
Oh, geez, Mike. That guy in the front. Who is that?
Which one?
The one in the foreground, the front of the picture.
Dude, that's my friend Alex. He is. They're dying right now.
He looks baked. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. How many people just hate rap music? You know, we got a brand new song here we're going to whip on you. It's called Rap is Crap, and it go like this right here. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Why?
Can we stop?
Why?
Can we stop?
Rap is crap.
What's next? Alone with my baby tonight?
I can go
Don't
find that
one. Don't tempt him, please.
I can go find that one. I have it somewhere.
I'm sure you do.
Anyway, I want to ask this question. Serious question. What was worse, when Hulk Hogan laid down for Jeff Jarrett or this one?
Hogan laid down for Jarrett. Let's be fair there.
Wait a minute. Didn't Jarrett lay down for Hogan? I think you
Oh, yeah,
got
Jarrett,
that wrong.
Jarrett laid down for Hogan. Whatever.
Get it right.
Or the finger poke of doom. What the hell happened?
You know what happened? WWE picked now to book Goldberg like Goldberg.
Yeah, they couldn't do it 12 years ago.
Refused to do it 12 years ago, because who wants to see a match where someone just bulldozes a guy in 40 seconds?
And apparently they kept Goldberg and Jericho away from each other in the back all day.
Not shocked.
Jericho's been a little testy lately, so that might be a good thing.
Not a bad thing at all. Jericho is 1-0 up on Bill Goldberg, unofficially behind the scenes.
No. Yeah, that's his actual list.
Yeah.
That's the real list. So, yeah. Now, thank you, having a job, meaning I missed the first part of this entire pay-per-view that started entirely too early. So, Rock, what happened?
Do we want to start at the beginning, or do we want to actually talk about the finish?
Let's talk about the finish.
Let's talk about the main event.
Let's stick to format. Make the
okay, a bunch of stuff happened, and then it was the main event. There you go.
Okay. So, there were two matches that happened on the pre-show. Yes, there were two matches that they announced, I don't know, 45 minutes into the first hour of the pre-show that we were getting two matches. First one was the six-man cruiserweight match that featured, I'll scroll all the way up through my notes, babyfaces versus heels. Perkins, Swan, and Nomar Dar versus Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Daivari. Wouldn't you know it, the babyfaces of the cruiserweight tag team won!
Hooray.
Do the heels tag teams ever win?
On the pre-show, no.
On Raw?
Eh.
No. Baby faces always go over. So that's what this match was. A cruiserweight showcase for 205 Live. Team Babyface won.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in the first one.
Yay.
I take it no one watched it. All right.
Nope, I didn't. I couldn't.
Completely missed it.
Yeah.
And then we had Luke Harper versus Kane.
For reasons?
That was what I tweeted, yes. For reasons. Let's go Harper. Let's go Kane. Hard-hitting big guy match. Chokeslam. Because hashtag Kane always wins.
He used to always lose, so this is a nice change.
He hasn't really lost. He's lost like maybe twice in the last year and a half. Now, I have two audio clips to play from the pre-show.
Go for it.
And none of them involve the Chris Jericho Kevin Owens segment, which was amazing. People should go back and watch that because it was 5 minutes of just pure comedy. first.
And you're not playing that clip? You are so mean.
I couldn't edit it down. It was 5 minutes long. Everything was gold. Anyway, here's the first clip. This is Booker T and Jerry Lawler discussing sort of the Cruiserweights.
Of course, when you put Kane and Luke Harper in the same ring, that's a freak show without a tip. But these guys knew that they were going out there and following that Cruiserweight match.
You could tell, right?
You could tell.
What a way to get the night started.
Did you see Luke Harper flying through the ropes and just suplex off the
big
top?
Big dope man.
Yeah, they thought they were Cruiserweights. It was great.
That doesn't say anything good for your Cruiserweights if the big guys are doing the Cruiserweight style. Am I the only one who saw that?
You apparently are the only one who saw that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Work. I have an excuse.
No, I meant by the sound of them discussing it. It's like, that doesn't
Yes, the tone of it is they talk about the Cruiserweights by talking about the heavyweights.
Yeah, it doesn't make them sort of stand out like they should. And the other came 2 seconds later for storyline purposes.
I didn't think my ex-husband was going to be able to pull that one off.
Someone remembered that.
That was awesome.
Wow.
Yep, they remember that. They remember that. Now we get to the main show. It opened up with the women. 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination style match. Team Raw, Charlotte, who apparently dropped Flair again, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, and Sasha Banks, with Dana Brooke, took on Team SmackDown's Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and Naomi. But wait, oh no, there was no Nikki Bella. She got attacked from backstage. But by who? Oh my god.
Oh, gee, I don't know. I have no idea. Could it, just a hazard, I guess, possibly be... Oh, I don't know. The one who ran up and immediately put herself in the match as a result?
Natty?
Couldn't be.
Couldn't be. She was so sweet and innocent when we talked to her on the Rack Extra.
Natty would never do something like that.
Natty's a good girl.
I know Natty. Of course she'd do something like that, you silly goose.
I name dropped.
It's fishy in the first place to name a coach for the SmackDown team. So instantly there's some shenanigans going on. It didn't anticipate it being that.
No.
Surprise!
No, didn't expect it to be that. So, yes, Natty, who was on the Rack Extra, go check it out at RackRadioShow.com, replaced Nikki Bella, who was holding onto her neck backstage. And then we got into this match. One, was anyone who noticed that Bayley was all Mega Power geared?
I didn't actually catch that.
She was red and yellow, like the Mega Powers. That's what I thought.
All I picked up on was the red, because everyone tonight tried their best to actually have, if it was appropriate for them to put on their team colors, they put on their team colors. Except for Zack Ryder, who said, fuck it, purple.
Speaking of which, why'd they make Nia wear the shirt?
That was just weird.
It didn't fit. It was not any good. She shouldn't have been wearing the shirt.
She's wearing the shirt over leather body armor.
Yeah. Didn't work.
Does not look good.
She wasn't thinking at the moment.
I don't think it was her choice.
No, she was thinking about her paycheck.
So all the girls tried to take down Nia on their own. Really didn't work. Nia was very impressive in this one. I will say that.
The sequence where she's just like staring down the SmackDown corner, beating somebody down in one move, going, bring me another one.
Feed her more.
It's such a great monster spot.
Yeah, that was well done. So
like this whole match was about making Nia look like an indomitable force.
So Alicia Fox eliminated Carmella. Confusing. First time Alicia's won anything in trying to really think when was the last time Alicia Fox won a match. I think it happened on Superstars one time in the last 3 months. I know the internet went, oh my god, she actually won a match. Then Alexa Bliss eliminated Alicia Fox. Naomi got counted out. And this is where, already into the show, it was like, the 10 count chant needs to die. It only got worse throughout the night.
That was the thing with the Canadian audience.
We're gonna hear it tomorrow too.
So, what it represents is Ty Dillinger, who wrestled last night against Bobby Roode.
Yeah, and the crowd is insanely in love with Ty Dillinger right now.
Right. So every time, his whole thing is 10. So the crowd picked up on it and just wouldn't let it die.
For the rest of the night and all night tonight, the only number was 10.
Tim, can Canada learn another number?
Oh, we also know the number 2. If you've ever been to a Canadian indie show, whenever there's a pinfall attempt, the crowd will count with the ref, but only up till 2.
See, that was the other number they knew because when the announcers went on, they did scream along, one fall, like it's like they're in the UK or something.
Yeah.
So they knew the number 1, and they knew the number 10.
Here, I thought the only number they knew was 1997.
That's the year they called and said, give me the gimmick back.
So Naomi was counted out. We're going to get to that. Because it happens later in a match. We'll get to it. Natalya eliminated Sasha Banks. People went, huh. That was interesting. Charlotte would eliminate Natalya. And then it came down to Becky Lynch and Alexa trying to get along. Really, really, really didn't work. They argued. They tried to suplex Nia. That didn't work. She double suplexed them. And then in another what the hell moment, Nia tapped?
It's the only way Nia loses. This is mostly true in NXT as well. You can get her to you can't pin her, but you can get her to tap out.
Yeah, but it was still like they built her up as a monster and then she tapped out. I was like, oh, okay.
It's kind of, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's, you build somebody like, keep a monster and you make her tap out?
It's like, it's an Achilles heel. She's invincible unless you get her in one particular vulnerable spot.
Grab her by the pinky and twist it and say, tap, and she'll tap. Just cause.
Just cause. Then, Charlotte eliminated Alexa Bliss, and I brought it down to Bayley and Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. Which Bayley beat Becky. So Team Raw wins.
Yay, Team Raw!
Raw should rejoice and celebrate, right?
Oh, I don't think so. No. Charlotte and Bayley in the same ring after Team Raw wins?
They should be all happy and celebrating, and Dana should bring in balloons and stuff, right?
Except Charlotte didn't get the last pin.
Don't think so.
No, Charlotte was mad she didn't get the pin. She destroyed Bayley, tossed her around ringside into the dasher boards, left her laying.
Not like they're setting up a program between Charlotte and Bayley now.
No. Not at all.
Like going into this, everyone thought that Bayley was being set up as a sole survivor with the whole weakest link thing, which putting her as the one who got the final pinfall and beating the SmackDown Women's Champion, okay, you kind of proved that wrong. As soon as it was down 2-1 in favor of Raw, I had such fears of how this match could have ended.
Yeah, well.
The fear was Charlotte sneaking a tag and getting the pinfall after Bayley did the work.
Mm-hmm.
Would have sent me into rage mode.
That wouldn't have been too good, and that would have really been, with what they did up to the, you know, up until the, pinfall, that, you know, that just would have been bad scripting. Bad booking.
Yeah. Except, I could have totally seen them doing it.
That's because we're talking WWE. Unfortunately. But, yeah, we pretty much all figured that Bayley would be the last one standing, and she'd have to go through at least 2 SmackDown women. To get the victory.
Yeah. Mike, what did you think of the match?
I liked it. Very classic. Jesus Christ, Nia Jax. The ending was kind of expected. your heel champion, of course, got upset because she didn't get the victory. Yay, I won, and I'm kicking your ass. So, as much as people hate to admit it, yes, it's going to be a setup for those two. Of Becky Lynn, of Bayley and Charlotte. I give it 3.5 out of 5.
So, there you go on that one. Well, that makes it for interesting news. We'll talk about that later. Backstage, James Ellsworth was confronted by the club. They were picking on him. Foley comes in, stops him from picking on Ellsworth. Ellsworth put over Foley. Foley then wants Ellsworth on Raw. Ellsworth, he's loyal to Team Blue. Braun Strowman stood up, went, "Don't I know you?" Ellsworth ran away. One, we shouldn't make it all about Mick. Two, Mick had a chance to sign Ellsworth, but he didn't. That's a bad GM.
But he wants him now.
He wants
after
him now.
After the fact.
After he got himself over.
My goodness.
So yeah, we then continued announcer musical chairs, because in the first one, Mauro Ranallo was leading. Now Michael Cole is leading.
Can we have more?
And everyone got sad. I was so happy when I saw that announced team, and I realized there is no Cole on the booth, and he had to come back.
Yeah, I'd laugh my head off tomorrow night if the crowd started chanting, "We want Mauro, we want Mauro, we want Mauro." Toronto, if you're listening, and you're going, do it.
So, yeah. The IC title is on the line. Sami Zayn versus The Miz.
Damn. Sami's over.
You don't say. He was in Canada.
Yeah.
He's over.
He's in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and Quebec's only like 6 hours away, so why wouldn't he be?
They actually had a pretty good match.
It was watchable. It was very entertaining.
I will unfortunately admit that I got preoccupied during this match, so I didn't see most of it.
So, all right, I have one real complaint about this match.
Maurice?
No.
No? Michael Cole?
No, kind of.
Okay, let's be fair. That's any time Cole's
But Tim knows my complaint.
No, I'm going to let you voice it.
We've been the commentary was praising Ziggler, wanting him to represent SmackDown. Ziggler spent 3 months losing to everyone under the sun, got one win, then wrestled the Spirit Squad, and had trouble with the Spirit Squad. Do we really want that guy, who just lost the title, to represent SmackDown?
Not according to JBL at the end of the match.
But all throughout the match, they wanted Ziggler to be the guy. It's like, but Ziggler spent months losing. You really want him to be the guy? Made zero sense. Zero. Anyway, Miz worked over to leg of Sammy. Sammy missed the kick, figure four by Miz. He would eventually get to the ropes. Sammy locked in the figure four. And then, the old ring the bell trick. Maurice rings the bell. Sammy's all confused. Miz rolls up Sammy. Miz retains.
Boo.
Thoughts,
why does it? Why doesn't someone just trank dart her before every Miz match?
The shark cage, the crash cage,
get, by Mattel.
The new toy.
Just get the handcuffs and cuff her to JBL or something. Even worse, be mean and cuff her to Michael Cole.
Okay, that's cruel and unusual punishment. You know that.
Stick her in the coal mine. They'll be all right. No. Okay. So yeah, Miz is still champion. Toronto Screwjob is in. It wouldn't be a Survivor Series without one.
I'm so fucking sick of Maryse fucking with every single match.
That is what she is there for.
She's there for that, yes.
And to chew on English.
What does Aiden have to do with this?
No, I meant the way she talk.
Oh.
Her native language, her native tongue's French.
I know she's playing the heel manager role. The valet role. I know what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the point where there is no strength to the Miz. She's done it so often, in so many matches, in so many ways, and it seems so dumb. You know, like over in NXT, Paul Ellering interferes in a couple matches. He gets hung from a shark cage to try and stop him from interfering again. Like a good manager, he still find a way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch NXT, you find out the Authors of Pain, even with that, you know, didn't actually get to take advantage of his cheating. And they still won, and they still got a big boost by winning that match without his help. So they thus they still have a heel manager and still look credible at the same time. You know, they have the help. They don't necessarily need it. Miz needs it. Every single match, no matter how small the stakes in the match are, he needs it.
Well, the thing about it is Miz is supposed to come across as not credible and needing Maurice's help all the time. The problem is, I don't know about you guys, but I've had enough of it. I mean, after a while, it just gets a little bit too old, and it's kind of gotten a little bit too old.
It's gotten a little too dumb. I'm seriously wondering, where is Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon saying, look, you absolutely cannot come down to ringside, or if Maurice is down to ringside or interferes, you lose the belt. Something. Because by now, he's pulled this shit so many times. Like when it was career versus title against Ziggler, and he's got Maurice, he's got, you know, he's getting sprayed in the eyes with hairspray, he's got the Spirit Squad coming down. He's got all this shit going on just to help him keep that title.
No.
And you still don't do anything to punish him for how blatantly he's cheating. And nothing to prevent him from cheating again.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes the management of the brand look really pathetic.
Yeah.
It makes him look weak. Makes him look very weak. And for the love of God, get rid of her.
Well, it's not so much stepping outside, you know, so you're looking down at it omnisciently. It doesn't help Miz one bit. It really hurts him, but it makes the writing look weak, looking at the creative.
It makes it look very weak.
It's like, what are we going to do? I don't know. Have Maurice interfere again. What are we going to do? I don't know. Have Maurice interfere again.
Yeah, it's literally the only idea to have.
Yeah, have Maurice interfere again.
It's basically a game of, how is she going to interfere this time?
Yeah, and it feels like the writers are trying to one-up themselves. Like, that's the story of Survivor Series, is the writers going, let's screw with people's expectations. I know, it's gotten to the point where it's just monotonous at this point. It's dumb that they haven't done anything about it, and it's just old hat at this point.
Well, here it is. Creative is not being creative with Maurice's interference to keep the title on Miz. If that makes any sense to anybody.
None of this booking makes sense to me anymore.
Bo, wait. There's more odd booking scenarios to come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm still trying to digest,
and I'm just like, okay, did I like that? Did I hate that? Did it piss me off? I don't know yet. We'll get there, kids.
We'll get there.
I don't know. Yeah, Miz retains because they can't think of anything better to do.
So Dean and AJ argued about TLC in the back. Shane was playing Peacemaker, which led to the Survivor Series 10-on-10 tag team elimination match where if your team got eliminated, you were gone, so both members of the team would be gone. Thank God for 19 eliminations we did not need to see.
Just
you would have gone really, really long. He'd have to bring out another referee just to give his hand a break.
Oh, God.
Not going to touch that one.
Neither did the other.
Yeah, apparently neither is the ref.
So, it was New Day, Sheamus and Cesaro, Gallows and Anderson, Enzo Amore, and Big Cass, the Shining Stars, taking on Slater and Rhino, the Hype Bros, American Alpha, the Usos, and Breezango. Breezango, the Fashion Police, gave out tickets. New Day eliminated Breezango right away. And then out of nowhere, the Usos eliminated New Day. What?
Wait, what?
What?
See, again. This felt like the writer's trying to be really tricky.
And yeah, you know what? Let's just eliminate the captains of the Raw tag team right off the bat.
But why?
It'll shock the audience.
But why?
Surprise, that's why.
But why?
Because surprise.
Okay.
Do you really want to know?
Why?
But why? But why?
Rock, do you really want to know?
Yes.
But why?
Because.
Why?
Team Raw Rocks? Team Raw Rocks? No?
That's how you break a toddler from the Y phase.
Doing the New Day. Anyway, moving on.
You're a toddler.
Yes, I am, apparently. who taught Zack Ryder and Mojo how to dress? I don't know. They were eliminated by Gallows and Anderson. Thank God.
Nobody told them it was a costume party.
Every day.
I feel bad. Zack goes and buys special gear for big events. This was like retro Survivors Series outfit, like done up like the classic colors, classic logo. Of course, he doesn't last long in the match. Now let's just get to go home and get put in a little drawer and he'll never used again.
At least he's making pay per views now.
He's still a hype bro.
You know it, bro.
I want you to hurt. I want you to be in pain right now.
This is so much fun.
Woo woo woo. Whoa whoa whoa.
And then that's Tim just jumping the shark with it. Anyway.
Well, why not? Everything else jumped the shark tonight.
American Alpha eliminated the Shining Stars. Thank God.
The Shining Stars lasted longer than the New Day.
Why can't they come up with some kind of a gimmick for Primo and Epico that actually bloody works and sticks?
Because Carlito can't come back.
Because they're all really stupid gimmicks.
Because it's Primo and Epico. We've seen it. It's enough. We're done. Anyway, after all those people were eliminated, it got good. This matchup got good for a while. All the teams brawled. Heath Slater did a big stage dive on everyone. Chad Gable, oh my, the roll-through German. Oh, after breaking up the giant swing.
He's so damn good.
He has talent. And if they could just figure out a way to use it, it'd be awesome. Gable did a huge dive on everyone. Gallows and Anderson would then eliminate American Alpha and everyone went, boo, because they were actually carrying the match. Go ahead.
That'll tell you how good they are. It's an American named team that Canadians were unhappy got eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Enzo and Gallows collided.
Wait a minute. Time out. We don't hate Americans as a rule, Omega. We just hate the stupid ones.
It's not. Okay. Look what we did in the last few weeks. That's,
yeah, so we're pissed off at half your country.
That's why Jobber is our president, right?
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Are you still counting votes? I think they're still counting votes in Minnesota.
No, our election is over. We have actually crowned one.
Yes, I know that, but I think they're still counting votes in Minnesota.
I'm not talking about that one. That one doesn't count. No one liked that one. They liked ours better. Anyway, Moving on. Rhino eliminated Gallows and Anderson. After Gallows and Enzo collided, Gore took Gallows. Enzo and Cass eliminate Slater and Rhino. So, in a weird way, Enzo and Cass should be challenging for the SmackDown titles, and the Usos should be challenging for the Raw tag titles.
Why do I have the really weird feeling that something like that is actually plausible? Oh yeah, never mind. WWE.
The Usos would then eliminate Enzo and Cass. The crowd was booing at that point, because, well, they wanted to see Enzo and Cass star. But that was not to be.
You got to hear a good promo. That's what you get for Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone go happy.
I mean, it's Enzo, though.
Yeah. If he's got a microphone, he's cutting a good promo.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought there was a spot that should have been the finish. Uso set up for the double super kick. Cesaro saved Sheamus from the kicks. I thought that should have been the finish. But it moved on from there. But it was a really cool spot. It felt like it could have been the finish and should have been the finish, because it just sort of felt weird at that point. But that's just me. We had the Uso splash. Cesaro made the save with a double stomp. The Uso put on a tequila sunrise, which Cesaro turned into a sharpshooter. And Team Raw won. React.
Yay, Team Raw, if you're a Raw fan.
A non-Hart used the sharpshooter in Canada and actually worked.
Look who used the sharpshooter, Omega.
A non-Canadian.
What's his name?
Yes, it's Cesaro.
Who's his tag partner when he's not injured and with a broken neck and can never wrestle again?
No, not tag team partner. Life partner.
His life partner.
If you watch Total Divas, it feels like they're secretly married. Anyway.
They are, dude, they're married a little.
They're a little married. Keep you and Lizzie's canon on Thursdays.
10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh.
Yep.
Omega, how's that hairball? Oh my goodness. Oh wow.
So anyway, Team Raw won.
Way to be, Kofi. It's okay, Brock. Damn near same thing happened to me earlier. That was a tweet from Kofi Kingston tonight. Thank you for sharing, Mike. That was funny.
That is amazing.
That's hilarious. But, you know, these guys are hilarious. Yeah, I'm good. It took me forever to drink the Kool-Aid, but I guess I'm glad I finally did. New Day just makes my day. They really do.
Yeah, yeah. So Cesaro looked like he was going to shake the hand of, Sheamus was going to shake the hand of Cesaro, but no, just brushed his hair instead.
There you go.
The tag team still can't get along.
You look stupid.
We also learned that apparently it seems like tomorrow night it's going to be tag titles New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
Well, worried about that, going to be honest.
Have they hit the point yet, or they still got time?
How far from demolition?
Probably really close. Probably really close. Intern, go check out the number for us, please. Thank you. He'll get back to us at some point. We then had the Cruiserweight title match. The Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto. If Kalisto won, the Cruiserweights would go to SmackDown.
Oh, God. Who else was cheering for Kalisto here?
A lot of people.
I think almost everybody.
Brian Kendrick made this match really, really, really boring.
Brian Kendrick has the ability to do that. Halfway through this match, I'm thinking, Jesus, the Cruiserweights really need Kalisto to win, because that division really needs Kalisto.
That division needs SmackDown's bookers.
I agree.
I mean, it's dying a death on Raw because they write the same matches they write for everybody else, except they don't give a shit about the Cruiserweights because they don't know who any of them are. It's the only reason Kendrick has the belt right now. Not to mention, it made no sense when you've got the Cruiserweight show taping on SmackDown. You figure you merge them, and so you only have one, you know, so you're not asking them to show up Monday and Tuesday.
Rock and I mentioned this to each other during the match tonight, well, near the end of the match tonight, anyway.
It would make financial sense, pay them for one night instead of two, and the ring crew would appreciate it, so they're not taping the road every single day.
Yeah.
Only have to do it once a week, not twice. One cool spot was the Spanish Fly by Kalisto.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice spot. There was a reverse headlock takeover from the top rope. Into the captain's hook by Kendrick.
They stopped calling that the bully choke real fast.
Yeah, they did. Kendrick would rather Kalisto would get to the ropes. Selena Del Sol for a two count with the foot on a rope. And then out of nowhere, Tim's main man, Baron Corbin, came out and interfered.
Why are you calling him my main man?
He's on your fantasy team.
Doesn't mean he's my main man.
He got you a point.
He's on my team because I didn't have anybody else to pick.
He got you a point, so that's good.
Yeah.
So Corbin interfered. Kendrick retained. What?
The fuck?
Oh, he's a little pest.
This did nothing for anybody. It didn't do the cruiserweight division any favors by keeping them on Raw. It doesn't do him any favors by keeping the belt on Kendrick. Both of them look weak because they couldn't finish the match, and then you have Corbin running them down in the back.
Well, like he said, it's stupid. It makes absolutely no sense, which just leads me to wonder, and Rock says it would be stupid, but at the same time, we're talking WWE, it just leads me to wonder, maybe because of Corbin's interference, some kind of rematch gets swung tomorrow night. I can see it happening. I'm sorry.
I never said that there wouldn't be a rematch. But you would be a stupid general manager if you risked your division twice.
Welcome to
the
Raw.
The fact is, the only reason they did this was to continue the feud between Corbin and Kalisto, which is not a good feud to begin with, so I don't know why you'd stretch it out.
It's kind of dumb, man. Don't do that, I say. So, anyway, they decided, oh, well, you know what? Screw it. Who cares? Eventually, the Cruiserweights will wind up on SmackDown one way or the other. Somehow.
22.
They just had a golden opportunity to do it, and yeah, I get it. It would have been obvious, but everybody would have accepted it. And a lot of people who know what's going on would have been happy with it, just because of what you said. The SmackDown's creative team needs to get their mitts on the Cruiser division. So, there it is.
Mike, you have any comments?
Baron Corbin just needs to...
chill out, dude.
Yeah, and what pissed me off, just like, and it pretty much why I haven't said anything is because everyone's saying what I wanted to say. They're really making the Cruiserweights weak, and it's a shame because it's WWE. When you put something on the main roster, and if it's hot, once you put it on the main roster, it gets fucked. It gets watered down. It gets tampered with. CWC was amazing. Now the Cruiserweight division on WWE main roster. Oh, God, why? And they're the butt of every joke. Baron Corbin's not a Cruiserweight. What the fuck? And then the whole backstage heat. He was just like, what are you doing? I don't care about any of those guys. I'm Baron Corbin. And the best that you can come up with, oh, we're going to deal with you Tuesday. All right, man.
Baron Corbin wants no more pests running around. That's what he called the Cruiserweights. Pest.
Yeah.
So there you go. Kendrick is still champion.
And there is that for that. Hey, you know what? Why don't we take our first, last, and only time out of the evening, come back and finish off Survivor Series.
And this, we're going at the break at request of King Ken's.
There you go. All right. Hey, everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Survivor Series Review Edition. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
The votes are in.
All right, the voting is officially ended.
How many votes was there?
There were 912 votes.
Wow.
That was the second to last vote. 911 was you, sub. That's a lot of fucking votes.
Thank you very much.
Actually, wait, no.
We almost got as many as Matt Hardy.
Wait, no, 913. I refreshed it at the end.
One good thing about this, no matter what happens and who wins, you're going to have all of us on the cabinet. Because one way or the other, we're going to win.
I don't think Rob chose a single one of us, did he?
No, he didn't.
What a mess.
What? No, I picked Rob.
Yeah, he picked me.
Yeah, you picked Rock, the moderator. Right? He's the producer who doesn't produce anything. Come on now.
He hasn't said a bad thing about me all the time. He's been very polite.
That's because he doesn't seem like he's neutral. He's Switzerland for a reason, and you're rewarding Switzerland.
Hey, I like the chocolate.
Coming in fourth place with 4% of the vote.
Wait, what?
Jobber.
Coming in
at fourth place with 4% of the vote.
Was candidate Subway making Getting High great again?
What? I was last? Oh, this is fucking... I'm going to go burn something. How the hell did Rob get above me? Rob didn't even kill on Facebook.
Now, we have a tie for second place.
Wow.
Holy shit. Really?
But in the tie, because percentage-wise, one person has two more votes than the other, but you're still in the same percentage.
Damn, that's close.
So coming in at third is Ace.
Yes! Whoa! Woo! Holy God, I'm shocked. I bet you, yeah, I know what happened. I swear to God, if Rob won, everybody hit in his name by mistake when they were supposed to be hitting my name.
Or my name sucks, right above it, though.
Is it a couple of my times name. When I went to go vote for me, I accidentally clicked on Jobber?
That was so pissed.
So which means the president of the CB Radio Party is... the Lone Jobber.
Woohoo!
Alright, so it boiled down to Jobber had 40% of the vote.
Holy fuck!
Rob's been in third place the entire time and pulled ahead tonight at the very end. It was boiled down to 257 votes for Rob, 255 for Ace. Both had 28% of the vote.
Wow. How many did Jobber have?
366.
Jesus.
Fucking nobody voted for me.
You know what? Thank you all. It proves that trying does matter.
Check out the entire CB Radio Party election fun at cbradiolive.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite total divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the total divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo, please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money,
dollar, 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 dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling, chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patent pocket. You take the dollar, dollar, can't a damn soul stop it. Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets, it's with the buck stops. See,
and welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yeah, it's time for the Men of Raw to take on the Men of SmackDown in another Survivor Series match.
Oh, yes, it was. So we had So we had Team Raw, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins. Taking on Team SmackDown, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, and Shane McMahon with James Ellsworth in their corner as the mascot.
Wow.
So
I'm just going to say right now, this was an incredibly entertaining match.
So let's think about this. Omega, at 9:01, what did you ask?
If this was going to be a two-hour match.
It went a long time. I think it went like an hour and 15 minutes with entrances.
It was just over an hour long, definitely, like the match itself.
Yeah, I'm going to get the official time here in a moment. What a crazy match. What a crazy, crazy match. There was a big brawl spot, crowd chanting for Ellsworth, because he was over, which you kind of figure he would be over, with the way they're pushing him on SmackDown. There was another spot. Braun was carrying Dean around the ring, right into an AJ spot. It's like, where do I go? Where do I stand? I have Dean. He's very light. Where do I put him? Oh, I gotta stand right here. Okay, here comes AJ. Whee! Splat. That's the way it looked.
Kill AJ night.
It really was kill AJ night. Holy crap. Braun tossed him around like he wanted to kill him. Roman tossed him around like he wanted to kill him. Like a couple times, one on a powerbomb, one on a clothesline. Whew.
Let's be fair, both of them might be up for attempted murder tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, one of the early stories of the match was AJ and Dean Ambrose really couldn't get along.
I got news for you. Every Survivor Series story was they can't get along.
We know that was the story, but this one actually sort of worked into the match. And played a big part into it.
Which is weird, because I thought the SmackDown men would be the one team that didn't have that going on, because if we come home empty-handed, Taker's going to murder all of us, and they will never find our bodies.
I guess Dean isn't afraid of a Taker?
Dean's the crazy one. He's not supposed to be afraid of anything.
He's too crazy to be scared.
He is too crazy to be scared, and he was the first one out. Thanks to Braun Strowman. A little surprised?
Little. Once again, it feels like the writers were just trying to surprise you.
Yeah. So they got him out early. AJ got tossed out of the ring by Strowman. Bray and Braun faced off. Looked like Braun was going to go back to Team Wyatt. Wasn't to be. We had an RKO on the table to Braun. Bray and Orton laid Braun onto the table. And then they look into the ring. And oh look, it's Shane McMahon. He heads to a top rope. What's he gonna do? The Shane-O elbow through the table.
He was jumping off of something. I'm sorry.
And he jumped off of something, all right. That was, you know, it's what Shane does, but every time he does it, it's like, holy crap, he does it.
And it's like the hit ratio of it is like either hit and miss. So the fact that he made it, I think it's because, and it's sad, if he makes it, he wins. If he misses, he loses.
Someone will have to go back and actually look through that, because that may be an actual fact. So Shane gets back into the ring with the help of the Wyatts, while Braun Strowman tries, but his leg is being held by James Ellsworth, and he gets counted out.
I love how they find out it's James Ellsworth. It was just funny. He couldn't break the hold, climb into the ring, but after he's counted out at what number, Rock?
He was the second one on the night.
But what number? How did he lose?
Oh, screw you.
But after he's eliminated via count out, that's right, they counted 10. Yeah. All he does is he looks down and pulls his leg, and up comes Ellsworth. But he couldn't break the hold to get into the ring.
No.
It's a leverage thing. You're pulling upward to get in the ring. It's like forcing against it.
And then the look on Ellsworth's face was like, crap.
It went from, oh, I'm clever, to I'm going to die.
For as big as Braun Strowman is, he has some speed to him. Like some serious...
Oh, when there's murdering to be done, he can move.
And he moved up that ramp right after Ellsworth.
Wow.
And then he chucked him off the ramp through a table.
That was a rough throw, too.
Well, everything Braun does is rough.
Yeah. Point.
Just a touch, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we got two eliminations. We're about 15 minutes in at this point. And we still have a whole lot more to go. So, we're back in the ring. Everyone's getting all together. Kevin Owens then mocks Shane McMahon stance. I laughed. But then, his best friend was in trouble. So what does Kevin Owens do? He grabbed the list.
He grabbed the list, and when Jericho saw the list, he went apeshit.
Jericho lost his real best friend that night.
The announcers actually played that up well. Like, one, Kevin Owens got DQ'd for using the list. Think about that. So that got him out of the match, which was a nice way where the champ didn't have to take a pinfall and it continued the story. But the look on Jericho's face is like, my hard work, it's destroyed. It's all over the place. What am I going to do?
Collect the list. Run around picking it up like somebody smacked your school books out of your hands.
Like the referee picked it up for him and he just grabbed it after he was eliminated via RKO. But Jericho's like, and the announcer sees, is this going to be the reason he gets put on the list? Possibly. Another fun spot was Shane using Rollins' own knee against him. Very good flexibility on that one. And then the scariest moment of the match. Shane is known for two moves. The Shane-O elbow.
And I'm jumping off of that.
And going...
three moves.
Three moves.
Well, the elbow is basically him jumping off of something. It just depends how high.
He got an elbow he took from Shawn Michaels and a coast-to-coast dropkick he took from RVD.
Yes, the coast-to-coast, the Van Shane-inator.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God's going to kill me in 3 seconds. So he goes coast-to-coast, almost.
Almost. Stopped halfway through.
And ate a spear.
And if people didn't have enough excuse to hate Roman Reigns before this.
So he goes down, 1, 2, 3.
Three? Well, wait a minute. Did he kick out or did they get pinned? Did he kick? What happened?
He didn't move. His shoulder's not down, but he's not moving, and he looks like he just got shot.
The announcers called it as a three, but they, because that was the plan. He was supposed to go down 1, 2, 3, but apparently he was up the entire time, or his body just convulsed and moved, whatever it may be, and they have to carry Shane out.
He's not good.
He's eliminated by injury.
The expression on his face was frightening.
Do you remember, this is a stupid question. Do you remember the look on Brock's face when he botched the 450 when he was fighting Kurt Angle and Kurt Angle barely got out of the way in time? Yeah.
That's what he looked like.
The look Shane had. The boy is concussed. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you can see on the replay, like, the angle that he got hit at and how fast he whipped back to the mat. Yeah, boy's head got hurt bad.
Now, I will say this, the classiest move of this moment of the night, Randy Orton went over to Shane's kids and basically told them, he'll be okay. That was the classiest move of the night.
It was.
Bravo, Randy.
Good on him. Yeah, I don't know if you caught any of it or anything, but on the replay I saw, and, like lip reading, you could tell that he's telling the kids, Daddy's okay.
Yeah, he's a father now, and he's going to be a two-time father with another kid on the way here in like 3 weeks. So he's like, he's a family man now, so he knows what to do. So it was great having all the veterans out there. They knew how to handle the situation. They all got out of the ring. They let them take Shane out the other way. They carried it very well. Then we get back into the action. And we have Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins trying to defend the honor of Raw. They have Randy Orton outside. They tease a shield bomb on Randy Orton. Not to be. But out from the back comes Dean Ambrose. He goes after AJ Styles, gets him out of the ring. Security stops him. More security comes out to stop him. They're dragging him away. You see the camera pan to Roman and Rollins. They go, should we? Should we? They do. They attack the security. They free Dean Ambrose. And then the moment everyone was waiting for, it was the return of...
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, shield.
And I said, no way.
3, 2. Anyway,
wait for it, wait for it. It's coming around in chat now.
I know.
There it is.
This is why he doesn't say anything on Card Night anymore.
That's why Card Night's not recorded anymore. Anyway, so we had the shield bomb on AJ Styles. That was a really cool moment, having the three of them reunite for one spot on AJ Styles, a common enemy of them all. Really well done.
Yeah, it was a nice, good pop moment.
Then Rollins eliminated AJ Styles.
Because once you get shield power bombed, that's pretty much the end of your night.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So,
and Ken Kittens wants to know, why do we have that clip still? Because it's funny! Dumb question.
I know, right?
Only from Kane Kittens. There's no such thing as a dumb question. You've obviously never been interrogated by Kane Kittens. I'm going to hear about that one now.
So it's Old Shield versus New Wyatts. And because it's New Wyatts, Luke Harper randomly appears. Because why not?
Because Luke Harper.
Because Luke Harper. Seth Rollins, with a big dive on a Harper, goes up for a frog splash, eats an RKO, Bray Wyatt eliminates Seth Rollins. It's now one versus all, Roman versus Wyatt. Fans were not happy. They were pro SmackDown at that point.
Let's go SmackDown. That was the chant, kids.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, boy, this crowd is pro SmackDown. No, they're just anti-Roman.
They're anti-Roman. Because that's what it was.
You do have someone ridiculously over versus someone ridiculously not over.
And then, like a good soldier, Randy Orton pushed Bray Wyatt out of the way from a spear. Bray then hits Sister Abigail. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, the new Wyatts, win for Team SmackDown Live.
Thank God they didn't give Roman another hero's comeback.
He's still not finished his punishment.
No, he's finished his punishment.
Well, now he's got to face punishment for nearly killing Shane.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, how much heat's he going to have in the back room? A little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, in that kind of spot, that is all on you to protect your opponent, and boy, did you fail.
Yep.
He drops the title tomorrow, guys. He drops it to Jericho.
I mean, what happens if you, like, if that is the case, if he's that heavily concussed and that's something he gets to that Vince gets to blame on Roman?
You damn near killed a McMahon. You ain't getting off that easily.
Welcome to Superstars forever.
Superstars. Welcome to Main Event.
Superstars is the Raw brand, so it would be Superstars.
He wouldn't even get to be focused on Superstars.
Yeah, Roman, we need you to do something for us. What's that? We need you to help out some of the... Oh, so you want me to go to NXT? No.
Oh, God.
You're going to evolve.
Here, Roman, we got this 205 live show, and it needs a referee.
Yeah, and then Triple H shows up. Hey, Roman, yeah, I want to renegotiate your contract. I'm going to give you a raise. People are wondering why I would do that. Why I would, like, say Triple H would give him a raise. Triple H and Shane don't get along, people. Pay attention.
We don't.
So, Team SmackDown Live wins.
Yay! I think.
And now...
Okay, well, we've got a really long entrance, so excuse us while we use the restroom and take a restroom break.
I'm legitimately surprised that Raw took two of the three Survivor Series matches, because it's usually not how they book when it's brand versus brand.
Usually they do everything they can to try to get SmackDown over because they want people watching SmackDown, but people are watching SmackDown now because it's live.
Except the ratings are still lower than Raw, and there's not as much excuse anymore.
Well, they tied in the ratings last week. Weren't you paying attention?
I don't think that's because SmackDown's doing better, frankly.
But Omega, Raw won 3 out of 5 brand matches.
Uh-huh.
So they still came out on top, despite losing the final one. But now, fantasy becomes reality. Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
This is what I was talking about. Okay, we're going to have really long ring entrances and introductions, so I'm just going to use the facilities, and then my phone blows up. Bleep, 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 bleep. Huh? I'm getting a message on Skype on my phone. What?
Yeah, hold on. We'll get to that.
I'm just, you know.
I know.
Prelims, that's all.
Oh god, I need to grab water to prepare for this rant.
So it's Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
Dun, dun, dun. Sorry.
So goddamn happy they used the WCW music.
Yeah, me too. Same thing. Play the song, Rock.
He was ahead of you, Mike. Ha ha.
Okay, never mind.
The song is 1 minute and 13 seconds long. The match went 1 minute and 26 seconds. One, if you watch Brock coming out, he looked pissed. I thought he's going to destroy Goldberg.
Apparently, he's looking pissed because he's been told you're getting squashed.
Spear. Jackhammer.
Pin.
Done. Goldberg is your winner.
This man has a full move set in WWE 2K17.
Like, you could have a longer match in the video game than you saw.
They had a longer match in the video game in the promo for this.
The promo was at least three times as long as this match.
It's where I have to go check something really
now,
quick.
Here's the thing. I still don't know if I'm pissed off over what they did with the main event or if I'm like, okay, something's going on and they're going to do more.
This is, again, me thinking the writers just really wanted to just shock you in every single match. They're looking for some twist, some little M. Night Shyamalan-ing to every single match tonight.
They want somebody to look like that guy that they focused the camera on in WrestleMania.
And here's the thing. What we saw in the main event was entirely correct. That's Goldberg. I've said it many times on this show. Goldberg is a monster truck show. It's not going to do much, and it's not going to last long, but goddamn, he's going to destroy everything while it happens.
And that's what he was doing up until 12 years ago. You didn't expect it 12 years later. The guy's 49 years old.
This is the way they refused to book him when he was a full-timer. When they actually had him under contract, this is the exact kind of match they refused to give him because they didn't want him to bulldoze WWE stars. He just bulldozed their biggest attraction.
Yep.
He's the one who ended the streak.
He's the one in the one in 21-1 now.
He's the one who beat the one who's the one in 21-1.
Jesus Christ. Okay. You made this guy the beast. You made this guy the Viper Killer. You made this guy the hero because he killed John Cena. To not only lose his match, but lose your match completely. And well, in a matter of 30 seconds.
Here's the thing, okay? He said it in an interview. I read it online this past week. He tweaked his shoulder last Monday night. Now, you would figure, okay, they're going to do a really short match and they're going to make sure that Goldberg doesn't get hurt because of the problem. Okay. You would figure that that means they're going to give Lesnar a really quick pin. And look at that. Lesnar got even. He got his revenge. Everybody expected it. It's all fine and dandy. What the hell? When somebody is injured, they do something to say, oh, look, he got injured. And so now the match is over because this guy won because this guy's injured. They didn't do that with this.
No, they didn't. So a tweet I'm using on the Rax Thanksgiving special on Tweet of the Week. CM Punk put up more of a fight against Mickey Gall.
Oh, that hurts. But the thing is, it's true. Now I'm looking at a meme on Twitter right now from PWP Nation, and it's got a picture of Brock out for the count on the canvas. And right above it, it says, got his ass CM Punked.
I like the other one.
That other one was way better.
Where it basically said, player has left the game. The opponent has left the match. Like, all right.
Lesnar's player has disconnected. No one's at his controls right now.
Like, everyone's sitting here like, where's the controller?
YouTube.com/RecRadioShow, we did the simulation. The match-to-match went 12 minutes in the simulation in their video game. This went 126.
Which is, again, entirely correct for Bill Goldberg.
It's Goldberg.
But yeah, like...
What?
Okay, during the streak, if his match went longer than 90 seconds, he was on overtime pay. That's the weird thing about this. I mean, in a nostalgia moment, Goldberg in the ring one last time, this was entirely correct. This is the exact kind of match you do. The only thing is, it's against Brock Lesnar, who is the current, indomitable force in the WWE. You spend years building him up as the guy no one can beat, because that's Brock Lesnar. It's supposed to be. And now you've had this decision where the unbeatable mystique of Goldberg is now going to beat the mystique of Brock Lesnar, which, on a booking sense, would make Goldberg the literal wrestling god JBL keeps referring to.
So it leads us to the story that came out as we've been doing the show. According to ProWrestlingSheet.com, Goldberg is scheduled to appear in the Royal Rumble.
Now, I don't know if other websites have picked this up or if this is independently being reported by other websites, but I have read three other stories on the interwebs tonight that confirm this, or at least perpetuate it.
They're taking the story and running with it, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And usually, to ProWrestlingSheet's credit, when they run a story...
They're pretty genuine most of the time.
They have an accuracy rate of probably 100% because the dude running it is a TMZ guy, former TMZ guy, and he knows people who know people, and he makes sure he has all his ducks in a row before he puts a story out. And that's why Goldberg was made to look strong tonight. I want to know the flip side. How much money did you have to give Brock Lesnar to come back to job to Goldberg?
The other thing, you guys remember a few weeks ago I posited a bullshit theory just for the sake of trying to get some kind of a discussion going, and it was like super shot down really immediately? Watch, Goldberg wins this match, and Lesnar's pissed off and wants a rematch, and that'll happen at WrestleMania. Oh, no. Goldberg is going to get put into the Hall of Fame at WrestleMania. He won't have another match. This is it. Now he's in the Rumble, according to the Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Which Brock shows up in the Rumble, tosses Goldberg, go from there.
Dun, da, da, da. All of a sudden, Tim was right.
No.
If he wrestles at WrestleMania, then yes, that clip will be played. I may not be 100% accurate on the booking leading up to it, but if there is a WrestleMania match... Tim was right.
Your booking strategy before is not even close to accurate, so you don't even get credit for it.
Fuck you, Tim was right. If he wrestles at WrestleMania, because the whole point of my bullshit booking was he wrestles at WrestleMania.
To be fair, that is literally the only thing I can think of.
Yep. Like,
well, the only reason I could see this match going short in the first place is because, the match was announced and held pretty quickly, for a guy who's been out of WWE for 12 years and really hasn't been doing any real wrestling since then.
Yep.
And the guy is jacked.
He looked good. He looked he looked like he did back then, only with the gray goat.
Yeah, with the gray beard.
Yeah.
But like, that's the only reason you keep it short, is if he doesn't have the kind of ring conditioning to actually put on like a full match.
He was winded, by the way.
Oh yeah. Did not take long.
Didn't take long.
No, he does the Goldberg thing, or he does the Lesnar thing where he just starts turning red really quick.
Going all the way back to the beginning, the intros, I like they actually had the legit security for him. It was a nice touch.
Yeah,
the only thing I missed was him not driving his head into a locker door.
It felt it felt like Monday Nitro. As a nostalgia act, it was perfect.
Yep.
They finally booked something WCW did correctly. Did. First angle ever. WCW looked strong on WWE TV. I still go back to my thought process at 10:30. What? What?
What?
What?
The fuck? The fuck? I still don't know what to make of this. There's the kid in me that was so excited to see Goldberg run over Hollywood Hogan and finally take that title away from the NWO that's like really hyped up. But at the same time, that cynical wrestling fan I've developed since then is going, what fucking shit was that? They're warring in my head now.
like I said, I don't know how to react right now to the main event because it just took me right back to 1997, 98.
And again, like it's Booker's trying to go, ha-ha, didn't call that, did you?
And I'm thinking,
by doing exactly
straight.
What you expect out of Goldberg.
We're going to swerve him.
You know what they won't expect? The exact same Goldberg match she always has.
Yep. I just
Which
had
is a, there's a twisted irony to that. There's a part of me that appreciates that.
Yeah. I just had a text sent to me, and this is coming from a Canadian. It would have been awesome if the RCMP brought him out. In Canada, surrounded by Mounties. That would have been a little bit, first off, too cheesy. Secondly, just I think half the people watching wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah, the actual Mountie from WWF Knock on the Door.
Oh, shit. That would have been Rougeau.
So people were using the hashtag cancel WWE Network tonight because, you know.
They do every pay-per-view. There's always people who are pissy about everything.
Brock vs. Goldberg was worse than WrestleMania 20. Hashtag cancel WWE Network. Peace out, WWE. We had good times, but it's not worth garbage like that. See you at the Rumble, maybe. Hashtag cancel WWE Network.
It's ridiculous. You know?
Whiny little bitches.
If you're going to be a whiny little bitch, then yeah, unsubscribe and go watch reruns of, I don't know, Little House on the Prairie.
Hashtag cancel WWE Network. You've gone too far this time.
No, I said it when Undertaker lost. It's what tells the best story. A guy coming back who hasn't wrestled in 12 years losing is not a huge surprise when it's Lesnar he's against.
Yeah.
This is shock. This is surprise. This is story.
At the same time, it's not a bad shock. It's not bad surprise. It's not a shock for the sake of shock. If they follow it up and he's legitimately in the Rumble and keeps going for a little bit longer.
At the same time, this does something interesting, which is, yes, it knocks Lesnar down a peg to lose so easily to Goldberg. But look at the flip side of this. That's probably not a bad thing. We talked a lot about how thin Lesnar's pool of opponents is, because he's beaten all the top guys, and he's beaten them decisively. You make Brock just a little bit vulnerable, and you open it up to new options for him to actually wrestle. You know, suddenly guys like Rollins, who may not have seemed like a solid chance against Lesnar,
might be able to
handle it now.
You're all of a sudden thinking, hey, maybe my favorite wrestler on the roster who should be competing at that level might actually have a shot.
So, on Raw, Corey Graves chimed in at the very end as Brock was leaving. He questioned whether Brock Lesnar saw something in Goldberg's eyes that actually had him doubting himself for the first time in his career. You just wonder. We had Twitter reaction. A couple tweets that were sent to us after the show. Matt tweeted, I didn't have high hopes for it, but did expect it to last longer than 5 minutes. We Love Cena Nikki tweeted, it was epic, just wished the match was longer. Chris Pierce, utter crap, big hype for nothing match. Vincent Melendez, that was WCW Goldberg being Brock Lesnar, not WWE Goldberg.
Yep, that was the point.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So those are a little bit of Twitter reaction. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio at any point. So, all that said, how would you grade the show?
Oh my god.
I've got a 3-letter grade for the show. WTF. Seriously.
I still don't know what to make of the show. How do I letter grade it?
Okay, you know what? Never mind letter grade. Did you overall feel entertained?
Okay, yeah, if we're going... Okay, let's put the smarkiness out.
Yep.
Let's just focus on, was I entertained?
As a fan,
I didn't like how some of the endings went.
Yep.
I didn't like seeing some of the matches ruined.
Yep.
I got a decent women's match. I got a tag match that got good, and then a really good match for the men.
Yep.
I also got a really crap cruiserweight match with a really crap ending.
Yep.
And then I got whatever the hell that was at the end. Okay, makes sense.
And we're still puzzling that out.
I will admit, as someone who, like, one of my favorite moments in wrestling being, you know, Goldberg taking out Hogan and dethroning the NWO, As someone who kind of hated my best friend because he was such an NWO mark, and I was still in my it's real to me mode where I'm like, but they're the bad guys. All that said, I can't deny it. This is entertaining.
Yeah. At the end of the day, is that not what matters?
they gave us WCW Goldberg and The Shield. Really can't hate the pay-per-view for that. I mean, yeah, entertaining as all hell. It didn't drag.
No. Here's the thing. A good wrestling show will piss you off at points, will make you wonder at points, but you're going to leave the pay-per-view, the wrestling show, talking about it.
And boy, are we talking about it.
And people are going to be talking about this all night long. Mike, your take as a fan.
As a fan,
were you entertained?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I just didn't. It was the main event.
So you're not in the air about that, still wondering if you like that or not. And it's like, no, it's Goldberg. 12 years later, what the hell is he doing winning? This sucks. This is really dumb. A squash match? You're going to squash Brock Lesnar like that? What the hell are you thinking?
Okay. Here we go. As a fan, I said, oh my God, really? Did this really just happen? 12 seconds built up for nothing. Brock Lesnar's a beast. Oh my God, he's like God. But then, quote unquote. But now it's like, ew.
After you had a few minutes to digest the main event, you're like,
right.
Okay.
Like, that's the wrestling, that's the fan side of me. The knowledgeable side of me is like, that was a thing.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't expecting it to go that quickly. Maybe Brock was really injured or whatever. And then I realized, wait, they're not finished. Brock Lesnar's a zero and two and zero.
So.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg was the first half of Rocky III. Goldberg came in smug as a son of a bitch thinking, yeah, no problem. That's it. I'm gonna beat you up. And then Goldberg on the other side is the good guy versus the Clubber Lang. And he comes out and he's like, forget that. You're down because I said so. Brock took him lightly. This is where a rematch gets set up. Brock took him lightly. Do you think that Brock is going to be, okay, so I lost. How pissed off is he going to be between now and his next match, right? And if they give him a couple of matches between now and the next time he faces Goldberg, how much trouble are these guys going to be in that get fed to Lesnar?
I feel bad for Rusev in the first week of December in Mexico. I really, really,
oh,
really
Jesus
do.
Christ, I forgot about that.
I really, really, really do.
Oh, my God.
Poor Rusev. Everyone, please pray for Rusev, because he's going to need it.
Wait, who does... Oh, God, please don't tell me he has Lesnar.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep,
exactly.
Rusev, you better get... I'm sorry, bro.
Pay up your health insurance.
Vaya con Dios.
Make a will.
Do we know if WWE's corporate jet can fit a body bag?
Yes, sex your wife up hard.
Procreate now. You have no chance.
But then again, if Kofi Kingston can... Never mind.
Now, Tim, you have the pick'em in front of you, right?
The pick'em, I just got to click this little button here, and it's right in front of me.
All right,
there it is, WZR, pick'em.
All right, before you get to that, let's go over fantasy real quick, and then we'll go through the pick'em.
Go for it.
Week 12 scores, Team Mike, -1.
Mike!
Team Omega, 18. My team,
I'll take that.
My team had 23, Team Intern had 24, Team Tim had 33.
I'll take it.
Team Lindsay had 42.
Bad Survivor Series.
Coming in sixth place, or last, with 78 points, Team Omega.
Holy shit.
What?
Are you shocked?
Yes, kind of.
A third of my team got fucked over during this fantasy draft.
Just this week alone.
Well, I lost a title this week because someone in the back said, oh no, wait, Sammy has to face a heel. The last fuck second. God.
Team Tim has 80.
Fucking Cena had to go do a goddamn TV show.
Team Mike has 117. Team Lindsay and Team Intern have 140, and I have 144.
Okay, the big news here, the important thing is, I actually climbed out of the basement. Sorry, Omega.
Look, it's kind of my theme for the month. I ain't winning anywhere, so whatever.
Especially against, yeah, uh-huh.
Anyway, Tim, Pick'em.
WTR Pick'ems. All right. Coming in at first place, we've got a tie. The eight ball tied with Heartbreak Mike Lungjobber and Sheila at 4-2. And then we've got in fifth place a tie between Brent, Chris Pierce, Omega, Rob, Rock, Subway, and yours truly, 3-3. The thing picker, random thing picker, went 2-4 because it sucks. WWE 2K17 Sim also went 2-4 because it sucks. Aaron G, Lindsay, Michael, and Tommy C all tied in 14th place with 1-5.
Okay.
They lost. Game over.
Which three did I get right?
I don't know. Ask Tim.
Just a minute. All right, Omega, you picked The Miz. You picked Team SmackDown. You picked the Raw Women.
Okay, hang on.
Doing the math?
No, I...
Or did you pick Sammy?
No. I picked Miz.
Right.
No, he picked Miz. I'm looking at it right here.
You made a big deal.
Right.
You made a big deal over that. I'm trying to remember what I went with for the... Because I don't remember picking the men's Raw team because I knew... Because I thought SmackDown would get...
No. You picked SmackDown. You picked the Raw Women.
The Raw Women did win.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's your picks. Miz, Kalisto, Tag Team SmackDown, Raw Women, SmackDown Men, and Brock Lesnar.
Okay, so tag match I lost.
Yep.
Okay.
And Brock Lesnar.
Don't rub
it. Well, yeah.
I can't believe Mike picked Goldberg, and he's pissed off.
He technically picked Goldberg by DQ. Technically.
It was a DQ because we were robbed. We throw that match out. It was disqualification.
Anyway, so there's Pick'em, there's Fantasy, now Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Only get one question tonight. Each. It's a simple one. We'll start with Mike. What are you most thankful for in pro wrestling, Mike?
Kurt Angle still wrestling.
What about you, Tim?
Whether or not the wrestlers are saddled with good creative or bad creative, they go all out for pretty much every single time they hit that ring to entertain the fans.
And Omega.
Bailey, for giving me hope for a women's division. And that a pure baby face can still get over.
Well, Quick Hits went shorter than a Goldberg Brock Lesnar match. We're done. We're out
of here.
That's
only because you eliminated three questions.
Yeah. If we'd gone the whole Quick Hits, we'd still be talking longer than the next match.
Yeah.
I know. Anyway, we're done.
That's it, everybody. That's it. We're over with, just like Survivor Series. Hey, tomorrow night, don't forget, immediately following Raw, it's the post-show.
Yeah, and there'll probably be stuff to talk about. Tune in, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
And, of course, Thursday night, the return of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with your hostess, Lindsay Ward.
Raw.
Uh-oh. What?
Thursday's Thanksgiving, so we're not live.
Oh, that's right. It's American Turkey Day, the day that you celebrate taking land away from the natives.
That's why we did the thankful question.
Okay.
And now it ties together. But
now it makes sense.
We will have the Rack's Thanksgiving Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special. We'll talk Survivor Series. Oh, yes, we will. And we're going to have the NXT analyst, TJ Omega, talking NXT TakeOver.
Oh, scary.
Plus all the news. We have three segments. Right, Omega? 1, 2, 3?
Mm-hmm. Exactly three.
Exactly three. Thursday night, usually 10 p.m. Eastern, but it'll be available Thursday morning for your Thanksgiving fun. Yeah, it's a gobble gobble wobble wobble rack special.
Something like that. Something yeah, like absolutely. That.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show, where you can see all the Sims, 5 days of content, and the fantasy warfare between all four of our teams, and it boiled down to Team Tim versus Team Omega. Watch youtube.com/Rack Radio Show, and you can see the winner.
Yeah, because he's not going to tell you who won.
No, I'm going to make you go subscribe and watch. Check it all out.
I know who won, and it took 45 minutes.
Subscribe.
What? I didn't give anything away.
I said just subscribe. YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show and check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Episode 1 now available. Episode 2 is coming at some point.
Ladies and gentlemen, starting next week, the Rack Radio Show will be given a 30-minute dedication for all of its plugging.
I had there could be more, but keep going.
I'm just saying. I'm just teasing you because it's funny. Hey, what are you doing Saturday night around midnight-ish?
The reign of Lone Jobber continues on. He joined us on this past Saturday night.
Is he making CB Radio great again?
He's making video games great again, Tim.
You're supposed to say, what do you mean again?
Anyway, check out CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Go back and listen to last night's episode where, let's just say things got,
a little out of hand.
I guess that's a way to put it.
Yeah.
Do you even know what happened?
I'm not telling because they need to listen to the archives.
Yeah, I want people to listen, give them feedback, and tell me who's right. Check it out, CBRadioLive.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. The segment was so interesting. No, it's not out there. It was just interesting that Matt called in and laughed because he didn't understand what the hell happened. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Check it out. It'll be available tomorrow morning, CB Radio.
There you go. Yeah, of course, next Sunday night, back to our regularly scheduled programming. WTR Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. Follow me on the Twitter machines. Why don't you? You're allowed to.
Where at, Tim?
At Flames Forums. That's my main number one Twitter. And that's the only one you need to worry about right now. More info coming up. You can find me on the Facebook, basically facebook.com/menchaps, and you'll find me there. It's set up like a real, like an actual personal page. Speaking about plugs, you know, you can follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter at, what did you set up again, WTR Sunday night?
There you go.
Yeah. And, of course, Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Facebook,
do it.
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday night.
That one as well. Do it. Yeah. So that's my plugging done. I think Omega, I know you as Omega almost everywhere.
Almost everywhere. You know, except in a few handful of spaces. The main one being over on Facebook, where it is TJ Reviews for all of the updates there. However, everything else is under the name Rock mentioned earlier, TJ Omega. That includes me over on YouTube, where I'm constantly putting out content, and December is always a busy month for me. That also includes tjomega.org, where there's a bunch of stuff I post up that YouTube is not happy with, so it goes somewhere else. And for all of the updates on everything I'm doing, or just the silly pictures I take in the new Pokemon game, it is Twitter at tjomega.
Now, before we toss it the mic, because that's where we're going, also coming soon, President Lone Jobber Celebrates the Holidays, available on CB Radio, cbradiolive.com. I'm now making it a thing. So he has to do it. Anyway, Mike.
Jesus, all right. If anybody wants to come see me, talk to me on Twitter, the WTR Oreo. There is something that I am going to be doing after Thanksgiving. So
wash your hands when you're done.
No. Yes. So anyway, I will be doing some more creator wrestlers just cause after the inspiration that I got from Austin Creed and his mention, I thought, you know what, let me go ahead and do some designs. So I'm probably going to do those after the holiday season. So be sure to look into that on the WTR Oreo.
Get us on TuneIn Radio. You can get us on iTunes to search Wild Talk Radio Network.
That being said, I think we're done. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday.
Radio.com.